Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. My name is David and today I'm joined by Aaron, who is here to help us with some UCL fantasy. That's right, it's match day two of the biggest and best competition in European football. The UCL fantasy train is fully out of the station. We've had one round of matches so far. We've got the second round of matches to come. So we're continuing our coverage ahead of match day two, which starts on Tuesday. So welcome, Aaron. Listeners to the UCL Fantasy Pod, Free Fantasy Football Community, will be well aware of the other half of your main event, UCL Fantasy Pod. So it must be nice to sort of step up to the plate and get a feel for what it's like for your mate, Dan.
Yeah, I think Dan, I mean, he's had the better historical ranks, but recently I've had better ones. So it's good to have a fair share and let people listen to my bad opinions. Normally, I help Dan out, so I'm joking. But yeah, I think it's thanks for the invite.
Yeah, no worries. Well, I mean, the thing is, I said this in the match day one piece as well, so I'm going to say it again now, full disclosure. I am not a UCL fantasy player at all, really. I think I played it once maybe a few years ago, but when you're a Reading fan, it's very hard to really think about this, you know, the, everybody's names up in lights on those big Tuesday and Wednesday evenings, because for us, yeah, we're very much in the trenches of football. So it's it's very difficult for me to get as excited about it as it is for the Premier League. So yeah, I don't really know. I actually don't know what I'm talking about. So it's useful to have someone like yourself here to talk through the strategy. I'm just going to ask the questions. I'm going to be the straight man. So you mentioned that you've had some good ranks in the past. What sort of echelons of this game have you been able to reach in the last few years?
It's always kind of, I wish I knew the numbers. I'm not one of them fantasy players who like tracks all the numbers. Don't cancel the show now. But I think that it's always kind of been in and around the top 1%. And I think last year it was kind of like 3,000. So if you need it, I'll send it over and you can put it in the description.
Oh, don't worry. We don't need a full CV. It's okay. Don't worry. I realize I put you very much on the spot there. But yeah, it's just useful just to point out, of course, that whilst I am going to be useless for people on this, you will be, of course, some use. And of course, before we get too much further, just another reminder, of course, that Fantasy Football Community do have the UCL Fantasy Pod. You can follow them on Twitter at Fantasy UCL Pod. And of course, you can listen and subscribe to them on whichever podcast platform is of your choice. But yeah, Aaron, do you want to just quickly tell us about your regular show with Dan and some of the fun you get up to on that, and where people can find that show on a regular basis?
Yeah, so me and Dan, we kind of similar to what you said, really. We really start the podcast, the main event podcast, as a way just to keep in touch. We were going our separate ways at work. We both played the Champions League match, so we were like, there's no Champions League content out there. So we created it, and basically we just go match by match, quite in-depth. So it's definitely an in-depth podcast, but just, again, remembering that it was a way for me and Dan to get in touch. We weren't expecting it to get the kind of a following that it did, and we're just really happy that more Champions League content is out there now, and that the game is getting bigger and bigger. So we're glad to have been a part of that and kind of the getting that started and helping people out find the game and give it a go.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a good time to be involved in Champions League content, as you said. I mean, the game has been around for a few years, and certainly when I was a scout before, it was definitely on the radar. But certainly, it's right up there now. There's a lot of just a lot of good progress for the competition as a whole, but also on a personal level, probably very, very exciting to also see Newcastle at the table as well. Because I don't know what it is. I swear everybody who does the Champions League content for us is a Newcastle fan. I've had Mark on last week. You've had Ed on the UCL Fantasy. Probably got yourself as well. It's a good time to be from your part of the world, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we've been in hiding, and then as we've came out into the Champions League, we've all kind of sprouted out from nowhere. That me and Dan, we started it, and we always joked that we would be able to provide a neutral, non-biased view. And little did we know that in 3 years later, that Newcastle would be there, and we're still trying to take it in and try to, I guess, talk about the Newcastle assets. Like the fact that we're against Paris on Wednesday is crazy. Mbappe at St. James's Park, that's not what we expected when the takeover first happened. But no, I think that it's honestly incredible the fact that Newcastle are there, and who knows, maybe Reading will be there one day.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that. I mean, in some respects, please don't give me hope. but in other respects, we can but dream, of course. Yeah, we've got more chance of being in League Two next season than we do of being in Europe next season. That is for sure. So we will see. Fingers crossed. Oh, tell you what, if you've got the money, Aaron, if you could just buy Reading, that would be really useful. We could do with a new owner. So I'm just going to slip that in. If anyone is out there, well, to be honest, Newcastle must have money to spend. I'd happily be a subsidiary of Newcastle if it meant us not going bust. So, you know.
It's a sad state of affairs, but I know that's another conversation.
Oh yeah, we could do a whole pod on that. I mean, I could probably if I wanted to, I could probably just get a word in the ear of the guys at Planet FPR. I'm sure they'd let me on for a Reading rant because they do love a good old rant about clubs in dire straits. So yeah, but anyway, we digress in many ways. We got plenty of things to talk about, as you mentioned, Newcastle as well involved in match day two. And before we get any further, of course, I do have to remind people and also thank people very much for nominating us for Best in Fantasy Football in the editorial department at the Football Content Awards this year. You can now vote on who you would like to win all of those various categories. So if you are of such a mind that you'd like to vote for us to win that category, we, of course, be very appreciative of your votes. You can find details on how to do that in the description. And as I said, we're very, very grateful for the support we've had for the Football Content Awards this year. Some people sort of like think that we just kind of do this, you know, for fun, but FPL sometimes and Champions League, you know, content, it could be hard work if your team's not doing well. So it does mean like a whole lot when we get you guys just giving fantastic feedback and supporting us. So we do really, really, really appreciate it. But yeah, let's get back onto some Champions League content now. And we have to, of course, start with how match day one went for yourself. I've got your team on the screen now, Aaron. 86 points in match day one, already up to 41K, is roughly around 900,000 people playing it currently. I'm going to hazard a guess that this was a positive start. I assume. I hope, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that only Thuram and Sommer were the only assets that didn't get some sort of return is positive. There was a lot of kind of 50-50 decisions that really could have went against me. But overall, I think it was positive, and it's a better rank than what some people that we know in the league that we have in our mini league and stuff like that. So yeah, I think it's a pretty good start. And I don't, other than captaining Bellingham on the second day, I don't think it could have gone much better with the decisions that I did make.
Yeah, so that was my first question was, in terms of that captaincy and then also substitutions, because of course, when the game week's over, it sort of shows you your team as it finished. But did you try your hand with some of those guys who are currently on the bench?
Yeah, so I had everybody playing. So Vinicius, I should start that on our podcast. I butcher every pronunciation, especially in these European teams. But I had Ake and Blaswich on, and I had Tchouaméni, Thuram, and Di Lorenzo on the bench. But I chose to keep Tchouaméni on the bench because I didn't think he would outscore Haaland's five. I had Haaland as captain on the first day just because the potential's there, even though Alvarez seems like the more informed player at the moment. But yeah, when it was Harry Kane, a lot of people in kind of the community in the group chats that we had didn't even have Kane in the team. They went with Lewandowski instead. So I tried to double down on that. But Bellingham just had an unbelievable game, and he's just in unbelievable form at the moment. So a lot of people switched from Lewandowski to Bellingham. So we ended up finishing on similar points.
Okay, yeah. So that was my question, was an effective ownership one. Was, yeah, you went against the grain, I guess, here. But I suppose not an awful outcome, because Kane's only, Bellingham's only outscored Kane by 2 points there. So I think that's cost you, 4 points, I guess, overall. And captaining someone who a lot of other people don't have, sometimes that's really beneficial if you've got the guy. Because Bellingham is the UCL version of Haaland right now. Like, everybody's got him. Great price, great player.
Yeah, he's more owned than Haaland, which is unbelievable, 77%. It just shows how underpriced he is.
Yeah, no, big time. It's exciting to, well, especially for England fans right now, to see how well he is doing. So any regrets here at all from the match day one? I mean, the thing is sometimes when you get 86 points and from the outsiders look in and go, you shouldn't be able to complain, but we've all been there. You have an 86-point game week and you're like, oh, do you know what? It would have been so much better if this had happened, that had happened. Was there anything that you perhaps might have done differently, or perhaps a good decision that created a bad outcome, you know, that kind of thing, anything like that?
So a lot of the football that I watch outside of England is in Italy. And obviously, before this match day, Inter had just absolutely destroyed AC Milan 5-1. So I was kind of really on the Inter train. And then what happened was Inter rotated a lot of their team. So Thuram, even though he did score, was offside, but he didn't even start. Obviously, I've got Ivanusic. Correct us if he's wrong. But he would have been, Turan would have been Stengs at 6 million, and he got 12. And then Ivanis Susec would have been a 5 million midfielder. Probably likely would have still stayed on the bench, but Turan would have been a 12 pointer instead of a 1 pointer. So that's the only decision that went against me, because I knew I wanted one of them Feyenoord midfielders. I just chose to go for Turan based on the Inter performance. Rather than, I knew Feyenoord would do well. It was just a shame.
Yeah, certainly. We're very used to those sort of 50-50s that just get away. The one that got away in fantasy, it can happen a fair amount of time. But the handy thing is, of course, we've got match day two coming up. And the thing about UCL fantasy is that there, of course, is chips, but also there's an onus to get them kind of used fairly quickly at a time when there's lots of teams still around, lots of the poorer teams too, so you can sort of more accurately predict them. And that's very much the topic of discussion this week, isn't it, in the community, about what we do with chips. Do we play one? If we do, which one? And I think Limitless is the one that's being looked at the most. What I've stuck on the screen now is the first of your two bus teams, which is if you don't use the chip. And I can obviously cycle through to show your potential Limitless team if you do play it. So do you want to talk us through what you're thinking around this particular strategy?
Yeah, so when I'm looking at the kind of the chip strategy, and I've spoke with Dan about it on the podcast, a lot of people are using Limitless in match day two, not to target the good fixtures, because there aren't many. It's to avoid the bad ones. I think that's a struggle for me. I don't really like to use the Limitless in that way. But if I didn't use the Limitless, I'm not a fan of the -4. I'm likely just going to keep two players on my bench. So Shaw is the same price as Botman. I'm probably just going to keep Botman on the bench, seeing that he's injured. And then Cancelo to Hakimi, and then Maguire would come in just because he's a 4.5 starter, potentially. And so, instead of Ake. And that, I think the team is overall still in a good place. Those three strikers, I think, are pretty solid. With Mbappe, there's question marks over his kind of his health and fitness. But there was an interview just given just a few moments ago and he said that Mbappe is in perfect condition, which is, I don't know whether that's just sarcasm, but obviously we know the injuries that Newcastle have in defence, and going against a perfect condition Mbappe sounds very scary. So Haaland against Leipzig last season, we know what he did. And then Harry, even though it wasn't away, it was at home when he did that. Away from home, Leipzig did well. So it is a that one's a bit of a gamble. Could I go for Alvarez, for example? But Haaland's so highly owned, it's kind of a safe bet on that second day. And then Harry Kane against Copenhagen, Harry Kane's in great form. The goals and assists. But in terms of everybody else, I think it's pretty solid, and I'd probably try and just get as much of them, kind of the Bellingham, Tchouaméni, Sané, Di Lorenzo, Hakimi coming in, I think is a great shout against, because whether it's against Target or Burn, I think Hakimi gets the better of that right side. And Maguire, Man United at home, they're not great at the moment, but I said to Dan that if you were attacking Man United right now, what side would you look to attack on? In Galatasaray, the actual players that they have, they've got quite a big like household names, and they would know to target Maguire. So the potential ball recoveries is quite high for that first game. And that's all I'd be looking to target on there, not necessarily the clean sheet.
Yeah, it's a good point. One of the things I do really like about the USL Fantasy game is that it does reward some of that deeper statistical stuff that certainly I know appeals to a lot of the more hardcore FPL managers, for example, because a lot of that information you can get in the members area, for example, and can sometimes feel like information that's going to help you make decisions, but not necessarily directly reward you with points. You know, if you can identify who's having an impact in a team for clearances, blocks, interceptions, recoveries, you can perhaps sometimes work out if a defence is going to improve, for example, or if maybe an important player is going to struggle in the next coming game week. But with UCL, it's a lot more of a binary relationship between those stats and points, and that's really useful and can, of course, help pick out some really interesting differentials, which I'm sure Harry Maguire must be, because just right now, Man United players, nobody likes to touch them with a barge pole, so it could be a nice little niche opening for some additional points, couldn't it?
Yeah, I think just with I think Galatasaray will definitely have chances. I don't think Man United will control the ball the same way Crystal Palace were able to. So in terms of Man United, like I do think that because of the amount of injuries that they have, the centre backs are going to be under a lot of pressure. I think the biggest thing is, well, Maguire 0% owned currently. I'm sure it's like 0 point something, but the game doesn't show that. But Johnny Evans, 4 million, is 1% owned. So saving 1.5 there. But do I really want to have Johnny Evans if I'm not using a chip? Like that's the struggle.
Yeah, wow. That is a real flashback. As it continues to be, Johnny Evans playing for Man United, and it seems like an elongated testimonial match for him. And just every week he's got to play again. Is rather an interesting time for the United defence. What I'll do is I'll stick on your potential limitless team on the screen now, because, of course, it's worth sort of potentially planning for that, I suppose, and working out and kind of comparing those two teams and what that's going to give you. I had a little eye there, of course, on the fact that Real Madrid are playing Napoli, which I'm guessing is a challenging fixture that's sort of going to put people off captaining Bellingham. He's still in your limitless team, but I suppose that's indicative of what you meant by avoiding some of the more challenging fixtures. And so, yeah, who are some of the guys you're thinking of moving out on a limitless chip? Who would you bring in? Who's got the nicer fixtures? As I said, it's on the screen right now, so people can see. But, yeah, talk us through some of the main headline decisions.
Yeah, so in terms of forwards, they stay the same for me. I think the biggest question is there's a struggle with this game, just for those who may not be aware that a lot of wingers have been classed as forwards in the game. So Rafael Leao, Rashford, and players like that are all classed as forwards. And so do I replace any of these forwards with a winger? And that's a big thing. The only other forwards you're potentially looking at is Lautaro Martinez, Inter versus Benfica. 9 million forward, but he came on as a substitute and in 26 minutes scored 4 goals. Inter at home, and they have to win this match against Benfica because they slipped ground against Real Sociedad on the first match day. In terms of the others, Sane stays in my team because he's missed a group stage. He picks up like 90% of his points in the group stage. And against Copenhagen, I think that's a great match. Bellingham stays in because of his form. He scores again. And just the high ownership as well. It's the fear of missing out, but also he's Real Madrid's best player. Like, Napoli are not looking the same team as last time. If Real Madrid are going to win this match, Bellingham will probably have a part in this. But also, Napoli, because they've got a lot of moving parts. Di Lorenzo, I think, is one of the best defenders on the game, regardless of price point. And I think that's the trap with the Limitless, is that you look to kind of just get all these expensive players in just because I can and trying to get the highest value or worth of team. But actually, who is the best options? I do think Di Lorenzo is a really good option because of the attacking potential, but the ball recoveries that he gets as well. He's a really, really good defender. And I just think that in terms of, I don't know who Real Madrid are going to play on that left side, but...
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible, because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
We know that it's not Vinicius Jr., so the potential for ball recoveries goes up because he's probably going to get the better of that one-on-one matchup. As a result of that, Saka, I think, just addressing Arsenal. In my bus team, if I didn't use a chip, I have no Arsenal. If I did a Limitless, I'd bring in 3. And that's something that I would really regret missing out on against Lawn. I do think that Saka, obviously his fitness concerns, so that could easily be Odegaard. But Saliba and Rea, Arsenal are just looking good defensively right now. And I think Rea is the best goalkeeper option for that day. And then some of the others, just Bruno Fernandes, he does actually sneak in a few good ball recoveries because just kind of where he's positioned. So I think last match day, he managed to pick up a ball recovery point, which is quite good for an attacking midfielder. He's going to be on penalties. He's going to be on free kicks. You get extra points for scoring outside the box. So against Galatasaray, where Man United are expected to dominate, kind of dominate possession, not necessarily dominate the match. There'll be a lot of pressure from the home fans to go out there and attack. If not, there could be a lot of pressure on Ten Hag. I think the biggest Maverick pick out of all of this is Kvaratskhelia for Napoli because there's not the stats to kind of back up the... he's not in great form. Before the weekend, it hadn't scored in like 100, almost 200 days. Granted, the summer was part of that. But because of the defensive injuries that kind of Real Madrid have, he's going to be Carvajal might be back fit, but it's not going to be a fully fit Carvajal. That's going to be a really interesting match. And Napoli have scored 4 goals in the last 2 games. And Kvaratskhelia looks like he's getting back to his best. So he's a bit of a maverick pick, of kind of a differential that I don't think many people, unless you're playing Alan Lewis, can afford to get him in.
Hmm. Yeah, it's all about comparing it with what other people are going to do, for sure. And I suppose perhaps useful against those who aren't using Limitless. Useful probably even against those who are using it, who perhaps don't go with him for reasons you kind of outlined there. Got a bit of a gut feeling, which might, or fingers crossed, goes in a certain direction for you. So I suppose, so what I'll do now, I'm just going to stick the season ticker up on the screen that Lewis has quite kindly made for us for this season. It's still sort of showing game weeks 1-6, but it obviously highlights like an absolute sea of red in match day 2, which, you know, you've already sort of addressed there. So many difficult games. And so, yeah, what I'm asking you here is, well, you don't have to decide right now. You've got up until the deadline, of course, but you know, you have balanced this idea of limitless versus no limitless. With the season ticker on the screen right now, is there any opportunities in the future where you feel that you might be able to leverage more points? Do you feel like your bus team without the limitless chip can cope against the limitless players? Yeah, sort of a more broad question now about the decision between those two pools of players you've discussed.
So there's two ways that I'm thinking of playing it if I don't play it here. Obviously, these fixtures come back around in match day 5. And by that point, teams will have already qualified. So match days 5 and 6 are absolute nightmares in terms of rotation. Champions League already is, as Turan was for me last week. Just with the kind of abundance of fixtures that the teams have, it is quite hard to predict the kind of the rotation or potential rotation. You definitely have to look at the fixtures before and after who they play on the Champions League, which Arsenal's puts me off a little bit, but I'll touch on that a little bit later. So match day 5, the fixtures come back around, and that's where a lot of people dip in points. And I would be able to potentially get a little bit of a heads up. The only thing that puts me off doing it in match day 5 is, one, a lot of people are rotating. Could I get them in on a transfer instead? Could I wild card instead? Just something like that. But also the early fixtures on that day don't really give us any sort of inkling into teams I'd want to look at. I can't remember off the top of my head, but that's one thing. But the second other place I would look to use it is potentially the second leg of the round of 16. That is when the most goals were scored last season, and obviously Man City's demolition was in that. So Limitless would be a good place there. Everyone gets kind of like a free hit anyways between the group stage and the knockouts. I played the Limitless 2 seasons ago in the knockout stages and managed to get like 30 or 40 more points than I did kind of the average. Oh, and gosh. So that's kind of like a good alternative as well, where you can fit in a lot more players. I think the biggest difficulty with people playing it today is that they have to, like, everyone who I've talked to has to wildcard in match day 3. So you end up playing 2 chips back to back. So it's not even just a limitless match day 2. They are not happy with their first team that it'll revert back to, so they have to play the wildcard again. Hmm. And so will that help? And you can see kind of the questions about method of thinking that I've got in my head at the moment. But I think that that's a big challenge, and as you can see, it's a sea of red. There's not many good fixtures, and this game rewards being aggressive because there's only 13 match days. Like, if FPL was only 13 weeks, like, we know how close it is, yeah. Like, in terms of swings, in terms of rank. So it rewards aggression. So that is also playing the 2 chips in the group stage. Very aggressive, and it could it normally works for those that do it. So I would, after that long spiel, apologies. This is probably the best time to play it, as long as you use your wild card in match day three to target the back-to-back fixtures. Because whatever the fixtures are on match day three are also the fixtures on match day four, and then just worry about rotation like the rest of us.
Yeah, certainly makes a lot of sense to really lean into the. Whilst it is a sea of red for match day two, it is very much a sea of green for match day three. Specifically, when I say that, for the sort of the big teams that you would probably want to target. So on the season ticket, the teams that that are being targeted a lot: Man City, Bayern Munich, Barcelona, Man United, Napoli, Real Madrid, Benfica, Inter Milan, Leipzig, and Porto are the teams that have the best fixtures according to this, and it is all green for them in match days three and four. And of course, you wildcard, then you basically get two shots at the same team in theory. So if you value match day three, you of course value match day four as well. So that could work out. And yeah, I think that's very, very helpful presenting there the pros and cons there of which way round managers decide to play those chips. And yeah, just making sure you consolidate that. That limitless with the wild card at the right time. I haven't played that much UCL Fantasy, but I have played the Euros games and the World Cup games, and it's the same kind of thing. When you have a group stage and then you have a knockout, you know, the quality of opponents for every team goes up kind of exponentially after the groups are out of the way. So yeah, you make up the most of your points in the group stage when other people have the opportunity to choose different players to you, and then by the end you're all kind of picking the same one. So you've got to get it done early, haven't you, for sure. So yeah, let's move on now to captaincy for this second match day, which is probably more of a it deserves a lot of discussion for a number of reasons. Not only because there may be a sort of spread of captains based on limitless versus no limitless, we've also got challenging fixtures for some of the better teams as well. And so yeah, there could theoretically be lots of different captains this week. So let's have a look at the fixtures specifically. So I'll go through them for those of you who perhaps aren't aware. I mean, you probably are, but just sort of remind people, of course, you have the opportunity of switching your captain from the Tuesday games to the Wednesday games. So it's worth looking at the Tuesday games in isolation, then the Wednesday games in isolation. So I think I've got them on the screen in sort of chronological order rather than group order. So the early games are Union Berlin versus Braga and Salzburg versus Real Sociedad. And then 8 o'clock, we've got Man United hosting Galatasaray, Copenhagen against Bayern Munich, Lens against Arsenal, PSV against Sevilla, Napoli against Real Madrid, and Inter Milan versus Benfica. So, who stands out as a decent captain from these games? And then we can come on to Wednesday in a second.
So I think the biggest, like, positive for this game is that you can take a massive gamble with your captain. So I think the first thing is the safer captains, probably Bayern Munich assets against Copenhagen. I think Sané missed a group stage. He's the one of the only Bayern players not injured. So that's a positive. Harry Kane there also. The biggest thing that you'd say is that maybe Copenhagen grab a goal, maybe. But in terms of the others, I'd say Arsenal assets are probably potentially safer, but they've got Man City on the weekend. So I said I was going to touch on that. That I think if they end up scoring a few in the first half, I would not be surprised to see early transfers, sorry, early substitutes. But just preparing for that Man City game, or even seeing a little bit of rotation anyways to prepare for Man City. So that's the bit that scares me the most. So even though I think whoever starts for that game will have a good game, it's because it's the 8 o'clock fixture, we will not kind of see the lineup before the deadline as we will for the quarter six ones, UK time, obviously. I think Man United are too risky at the moment, but how big and how brave you want to go, this is a great opportunity to target a few wing backs. Which is one of the advice that we always give on the podcast because attack and returns, ball recoveries, clean sheets, their ceiling is the highest. And then you can obviously go safe with a Wednesday captain if it doesn't pay off. So Union Berlin, Robin Gerson's 5 million. He has scored, I think, three goals so far this season. And gotten a few assists as well. Against Braga, I think that's a really punty captain, but it could massively pay off if it goes right. You've got the Inter wing backs, Dumfries. Obviously, you'll know from the Euros game how much of an asset he can be. DeMarco. It just depends on whether Benfica can score past them. But Inter are great defensively as well. So yeah, I think my personal ones, I would go for Sane as my go-to if I want to just get the points. But punty ones like Di Lorenzo and kind of an Arsenal asset, I think I'll punty as well. And Gerson's is probably my maverick go-to captain if you just want to have a little fun.
Yeah, which in many ways the UCL fantasy game is that for people, because it feels it's a shorter game. There's only 13 game weeks, even though of course the season lasts longer, and you probably don't think about it quite as much as your FPL team because it's not a weekly thing. It's definitely an opportunity to sort of, as you mentioned there, you can take the risk a little bit more with a UCL fantasy captain because you get that chance to switch it. And I think some people in the past have said they'd love to see that brought to FPL. And the Sky Sports Premier League game is a bit like that as well. You know, you have sort of daily captains and things like that. Gives you the opportunity to just sort of just play a little bit more. You know, you've just got more levers to pull that can lead to a big haul that makes you feel good. And, you know, really when we drill down to it, that's kind of what FPL and UCL fantasy is all about, is predicting games and perhaps something that you've predicted that your mates thought wouldn't necessarily happen comes off. There's not many things that beat that feeling for sure. So yeah, some definite opportunities for Tuesday. Let's move to Wednesday now, which the Wednesday captains, obviously it's always the fun that we've talked about there is less important here, because Wednesday is your contingency plan, and you obviously want to have quite a solid contingency plan compared to your first one. And so yeah, let's just go through these fixtures here and then yeah, pick out a couple of games where there's perhaps a gulf in class between the two opponents. So Atletico Madrid are hosting Feyenoord, and Antwerp host Shakhtar Donetsk in the two early games. Then it's Celtic against Lazio up in Scotland. Dortmund host AC Milan. We've already talked about it. St. James's Park is going to be rocking big time because Mbappe and his colleagues of PSG are coming to the northeast. Then we've got Leipzig hosting Man City. We've got Red Star Belgrade against Young Boys. And also, I can't remember if I mentioned this on the first one, but I honestly had no idea that Crvena Zvezda was Red Star Belgrade. I thought it was some team that had never competed in European football before because I just hadn't done my research. It was Super 6 where I really embarrassed myself. On my Super 6, I put like 6-0 Man City. Oh, yeah. If I'd have known it was Red Star Belgrade, I'd have been like, well, no, because they're a tough-to-beat team. So, yeah, up against Young Boys, and then FC Porto against Barcelona. So, yeah, for anyone else out there who didn't realise that is in actual fact Red Star Belgrade, you know now. But, yeah, so the game's there. Anything particularly leap out here? And, yeah, as I said, it's probably going to be you're going to want some more sure bets here.
Yeah, so I think the obvious ones is Haaland. Obviously, he had that absolute goal haul against Leipzig last year. Granted, that was at home. Man City and Leipzig play each other. I think they've played each other the last three Champions Leagues. And it is normally when it's in Germany, it's a lot tighter of a game. Obviously, I know we and people who play FPL look into the Man City home and away form, especially with Haaland. But I think there isn't a safer captain bet than Haaland. Obviously, Alvarez is in the better form, so it depends on how you want to go with that. But in terms of how highly owned Haaland is, if you just want to kind of, if your punt didn't pay off, the likelihood is everyone's switching their captaincy to Haaland, their punt didn't pay off either. So it's a good way to just consolidate and kind of just stick with the crowd. So it depends on kind of how you want to look at it. With obviously, Mbappe playing against a injured Newcastle. Granted, it is away from home. And obviously, Paris Saint-Germain, they've lost against worse teams in the French League compared to Newcastle. But it'll be interesting to see what effect the injuries has on Newcastle, but also the home crowd has on Newcastle. But I'm not... Obviously, I don't want to say Captain Mbappe when it's against my team, but... If there ever was an opportunity, if you put any other team in there where you said their best defender's injured, their left back is actually a centre back who can't run, you'd probably say Hakimi, Mbappe against that team, regardless of who it was. So I've got to say that Lewandowski, I think a few people will have him in their team, but I think a lot of people will get him out because of the limitless. I don't see many people keeping him against Porto. So just something to bear in mind. But I think they're the kind of the go-tos with the safest kind of points floor, as I would call it, is where they're probably going to get 5 points. And it'll also help me stick with the crowd. So they're kind of the safe bets. I wouldn't necessarily suggest Maverick picks on the second day, because if you're switching your captain, you're chasing a ceiling. So yeah, I don't think there's many people. Someone talked to me recently about the Dortmund Milan game, because obviously Milan are in good form. But I thought Dortmund played quite well in the last game against Paris Saint-Germain. And I think they, even though Paris Saint-Germain had a few goals disallowed because of offside, I do think Dortmund maybe a bit, you can't take them for granted. And Milan showed that they couldn't put away Newcastle, even though they had 20 plus shots. So I think that one game is too risky to pick a captaincy from there. But someone mentioned it to me earlier, and that's kind of my response to that.
Yeah, for sure. Last week, well, not last week, last match week, you were probably very happy that AC Milan couldn't put their chances away. You'll be hoping for something similar from PSG this time around. And yeah, just to go into that Newcastle current injury situation, Botman has got this knee injury, and we're hearing that he's unlikely to be fit until after the international break, which of course is bad for the FPL teams as well. Joe Linton is probably also a big miss as well, because it's not just a miss from midfield, a miss from defence, sorry, with Botman losing Joe Linton as well, who has been very, very good in midfield. It's a hamstring injury that he picked up against Burnley, so that muscle injuries, we don't mess with those when you're a football manager, even if the game is a big one. They're probably the two biggest ones. But as you said there, Dan Burn is not in the team to compete with fast people.
No.
So it could be very, very interesting. I was actually going to ask you, I was not sure, obviously being in the area, have you got tickets for this game, or are you going to be among the many Newcastle fans who perhaps missed out because it was very oversubscribed?
Unfortunately, I missed out. The kind of ticketing system is a totally different conversation, but unfortunately, I wasn't able to get one. But I've personally found it impossible to get tickets. So I know a lot of people have been lucky. Dan, who I do the podcast with, is going. So he's went to AC Milan and now going to Paris. So hopefully I'll get a
Awesome.
go to a Champions League match
Yeah,
soon.
I mean, I don't want to sort of downplay it, but being able to watch it on TV probably is also still fairly cool, because you know it is that sort of shop window of elite football, and there you are playing against these big teams. So you may still find some enjoyment, I hope.
Even just hearing the anthem, like I reacted like Jacob Murphy, but I don't want to go too much into Newcastle, but with all the references. But yeah, that I don't know if anyone's seen that video where he's just grinning from ear to ear. He normally does anyways. He's a lot of facial expressions, but I think that's how we were all reacting, just hearing the anthem. So yeah, it is surreal in it. From what I've seen on Twitter as well, as or X, apologies. There's going to be a big drone display as well, so they're really going all out for this.
Well, yeah, it's going to be good. Well, fingers crossed you get the result that you want. My one thing when it comes to Champions League is, as someone who is an England fan and supports English teams, I always like to see the English teams do well. And I got a little bit of hate from that in the comments. They were like, wait, you want Liverpool to do well in Europe? You want Man City and Chelsea to do well? I don't know. It's just the people that I watch in regular sort of Premier League football and back their players quite a lot in FPL. I like to see them do well in Europe. So yeah, not that it makes any difference coming from a Reading fan, but you've got my blessing for this game, and I hope it goes well.
Thank you. I think a lot of people use the Champions League to compare the strength of leagues, which
Very true.
is a really interesting debate. So I feel like when you want English teams to do well, it kind of validates your league. Like it validates your competition. So you're like, oh yeah, like we're playing against the best teams in Europe, or we have the best teams in Europe here. So I think it kind of validates the league. So you kind of want it from that perspective. But I do see kind of the dangers in comparing strength of leagues, because I would say even though Real Madrid and Barcelona have won it for a long time, I do not think that La Liga has been the strongest league that in that period. So I think it's an interesting debate.
Oh, yeah. And it will never finish. It's a debate that will go on until the end of time. In the words of David Mitchell, it will never be finally decided who has won the football. So it will continue forever. That's just about all the time we've got for today. But before we go, just another reminder, of course, that you can catch Aaron's friend Dan, his podcast partner, on our other UCL Fantasy Pod, which, of course, is with Fantasy Football Community. And yeah, they've got regular episodes and are able to go into even more detail than they can on than we can on these videos, because I don't know what I'm talking about. And so you can follow them on X at Fantasy UCL Pod, or you can find them as the UCL Fantasy Pod on the podcast platform that you subscribe to. So yeah, that's everything from me, Aaron. Unless there's anything you wanted to add, perhaps a quick away the lads just for good luck or anything before we finish.
I won't embarrass myself, mostly because I've got a few people looking at me.
We'll keep
it.
Win
the lads.
He's gone for it. Well, there we go. Well, on that fantastic note, we shall leave you fine folks to enjoy the rest of your fantasy tinkering, and we will see you next time. Goodbye.